All right, let's turn to Matthew. We're going to jump around the Bible a little bit. Turn to Matthew 5:48. Be you therefore perfect. Be you therefore perfect. So I'm going to do perfect up here. No, that's okay. I'll just use some chairs. It's my oldest trick. Use chairs. All right. Now, you know that you have a spirit, soul, and body. So let's make this the body. Let's make this the soul. And let's make this the spirit. Now, you might think perfect is here. And it kind of is, but kind of isn't. You might think perfect is here, but not. You might think perfect is here. You're right. It is. So, but it's not. So, since perfect is here, it's perfect in the spirit, you're spiritually perfect. When you believe, when you're born again, you're perfect in your spirit. It has nothing to do with your soul and nothing to do with your body. Your body could still be complaining and griping and frightened and worried and nervous and so on. But perfect, then, in the Bible doesn't mean just this. This is just the beginning. And then it goes to this before it gets to this. So ultimately, perfect is when your body is lined up with your soul, which is lined up with your spirit. So all of us have been born again, right? Everybody here has been born again. That means you believe that Jesus is perfect. Now, you're lined up then perfectly in your spirit, just by faith. No works at all. Here's your works way out here. Here's your character. Here's your conduct. Here's your character. And here's your heart. Now, you don't even know your heart. There's no way you know your heart. You do not know your heart. It's written in the Bible. But you wouldn't know because you can't feel it. Feeling is here. Thoughts are here. Emotions are here. Desires are here. This is the behavior that comes out of these desires and thoughts and emotions based upon either faith or doubt over here. So all this can do is faith or doubt. You either believe Jesus is God, you fear him and love him, or you believe he isn't. That's it. So what makes you born again is, you know, I'm no good apart from him, but I can do all things through him. Now, do is out here, will is here, believe is here. Believing, willing, doing. So, most people believe that Jesus is good, but they themselves are not. Okay? But you're willing to be. That's discipleship. So this is how you get discipled right here. This one is where you surrender. But most people don't, so they just stop with this. This is all that most people want, and this is all most people arrive at. So, not perfect. Now, I want to deal with the word perfect, and as I just illustrated, that's what it's talking about. Even though it starts there, continues there, it ends there. So the word perfect has many meanings. Complete, full, accurate, perfect, mature, you know, the end for which you were originally designed. Now, the end for which you originally designed was not just that you have a spiritual rebirth. In other words, having a baby is not the end. You actually were designed to become a mature adult, spirit, soul, and body. So your life should be mature. So this is perfect. I'm going to put it up here just so you can see. This is where we're aiming. So when we say perfect, we're not really just talking about these two. This is where most people stay. They stay right here, then they excuse themselves for this stuff. But I just want you to know, it's never God's design. God's design was not to have a baby and then leave it in the middle of the floor and say, okay, fridge is over there, your bed's over there, go for it. When you have a baby, that's just the beginning. That is not the end. So it's not he who begins, but he who endures, this one, to the end. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. Does that make sense? Simple. And we've said it 10,000 times. But it's actually my life. It's actually your life. You actually know that I'm mostly here, a little bit here, and very little bit over here. Not so much. But that's okay. Because the goal of God and my goal is to take you to number three. So perfect does not mean I wanted to be a good Christian. That would be number two. That was your desire. The big thing here is not emotions. The big thing here is not thought. The big thing here is will. You have to be willing to die, to give up, to surrender, to line up with what you have here by faith. You need to get here by your own death. If you lose your life, you find it. So you got to give up yourself. Now, no one will make you do it. God will not. Just because you're born again doesn't mean God will force you then to be grown up or to act holy. But my goal is not to leave you at number one or even to get you into number two and, you know, send you through the fire and the flame and teach you all kinds of things. That's not my goal. The goal is God's goal, which is not take you back to Adam, but actually to take you where God originally created Adam to go. 99% of the churches, even if they believed in this and didn't just believe in that, still would only try to restore you to where Adam was. As though before Adam sinned, that's what we got to get back to. Wrong. Adam was never the goal, even without sinning. Innocence. The goal was always Jesus, the second Adam. So it's what Chad, the only part I heard, is what Chad was saying, is after you sin, in other words, after you're either not born again at all, or after you're born again, but you never went on. Now, after you mess up by not going on, God still has his design. And it's the parent. It's not you. You do not have to get yourself to number three. It's the parent's job to birth you, then to train you and teach you and love you and care for you and nourish you and so on and so forth, and then to help you then when you're 21 years old, to help you to be mature. Now, if you aren't, it's your parents' fault. Totally the parents' fault. If at 21 or 17 or whenever you are an adult, if you're not mature, it's your parents' fault. It's your parents' fault. You say, well, he was always a rebellious child. That's the parents' fault. Well, you know, it doesn't even make good decisions. Parents' fault. Now, which parent? The father. Which parent? The father. Yeah, but fathers are working. They're disengaged and so on. Sorry. It's his fault. His responsibility. 100%. So if you don't have a father and you have a mother, she has to play both roles. Very difficult. But doable, as long as you have a God. So what you want to do as a parent who's working under what you call dysfunctionality, or, you know, with half of the marbles, it doesn't matter. You still have a God. Because, after all, it isn't you that birthed this child, it's God. This is really God's child. So the minute a child is born, you should give the child to God. God, it's not my child. I'm only the steward. I'm only the one that's going to help this child to go along. So are you all with me so far? Okay. So perfection, yes, yes, but that's what perfection really means. Okay, so the end for which you were created, not Adam. You weren't created to be like Adam, like innocent without sinning. That's nothing. It's not what God wants. So most pastors, if you ask them, they just feel like, well, you know, let's try to get people restored to their original position, their original, you know, condition. Like, you know, little kids, sometimes you look at a little kid and go, oh, he's so sweet when they're sleeping. You know, they're so sweet. But, you know, that's not what God wants. He wants you to grow up, to be mature, to be on your own, to make your own mistakes. And also then to learn not to correct your own mistakes, but to call out to God. God, now that I'm free to be me, I'm not doing so hot. You know, I don't know how you do it. I'm free. I'm old enough to have, you know, a car. But I don't know if, you know, and I got good instincts, but I don't know if I can drive on ice. See, I love ice. Tom, you must love ice. I love driving on ice. You can drive on a lake of ice. It's nothing. So it's not hard to drive on ice. What's hard is to know how to drive on ice. And since 99% of Texans do not know how, that's why they goof up. That's why they have accident after accident. It's usually, you know, three or four or five all piled up. But you can drive on ice 60 miles an hour, but you have to know how to drive on ice. For example, don't brake.
Right.
Number two, worst, don't accelerate. Number three, don't turn. You know, so you can drive 80 miles an hour, seriously. But you'd have to know how, because you cannot move. Once you're committed, you're committed. And the minute you make the slightest move, you're finished. So that's why it's like a tightrope, like a fiddler on a roof. You know, it's very difficult now to mess around because you don't have a lot of options. So that's why people hate ice, and they go real slow as though that would help, and then they accelerate, and then they brake, and then they try to turn, and you know, you'll never make it. And not only that, but other people also are coming right at you, right? So even if you know how, they don't. And so they're going to come at you, and you can't brake, you can't accelerate, and you can't turn. So you can just see them coming right at you. But if you're aware, if you've ever done it before, it's easy. It's not difficult, because you have to anticipate, of course, what's a mile behind you and what's a mile ahead of you and where everybody is, what they're thinking. You have to anticipate all that, what the roads are like, when you go to a bridge, you're going on a flat, and so on. And what the temperature is. For example, it's not freezing. It's only 34. So since it's not freezing, that makes a big difference, huge. So of course on the bridge, it's freezing, but it isn't on the main highway. So drive on the side of the road. Usually on the side of the road, and I did, but you just drive on the side of the road because nothing else is moving. And the police have everybody stopped, and you know. So there are more police out today than I've ever seen. But they don't want you to drive on the side of the road, so you have to wait till you take the kind of road where they aren't. Because they'll stop everybody, because, you know, their job is to make sure nobody gets hurt. So they'll make everything come to a standstill. All right, listen to this. Be perfect, therefore, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, here's the goal, then, of your life. This is why you're here today. Here's your goal. Don't be like you. Don't be like your mother and father. Don't be like, you know, Billy Graham. Don't be like Mother Teresa. Be like your Father in heaven. Totally different than your goal, which is, well, I hope to grow up to be like an older brother, my older sister, my mom, my aunt. No, those are not models. Pastor Jim, no, definitely not a model. Don't drive on the side of the road. Because you take your life in your hands when you do it. And I love risks. I'm a big gambler. Hello. Now, that is not a virtue. That is not one of the great virtues. Yeah, right. She hates that. And that's why it's a good marriage, because she hates gambling. You know, she hates taking risks. She would rather not show up at all. Not me. Hey, we got to get there. Get out of the way, everybody. I love it. Is anyone else a gambler like I am? I mean, it's a guy thing. I don't know that girls like gambling. A few, maybe, but most guys like gambling. You know, try something weird, strange, new, different, exotic. Something on the edge. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Grant, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's a thrill in that. Push it to the edge. Go to the very edge. But what you learn is you learn how stupid you are. that's what you learn is, oh, too much. Oh, I goofed up. And see, that's okay. If you have your life settled, you're not afraid to die. You're not afraid to lose. You're not afraid to lose over and over again. Now, if losing bothers you, you don't want to take a risk. If losing bothers you, you don't want to take a risk. But it doesn't bother me. I already know I'm an idiot and a jerk, nasty and filthy and so on. So it doesn't bother me. That's just the way it is. And I don't judge other people that are stupid too long. The little too long was the interesting part. So God wants you to be perfect. How? Exactly as He is. I mean, exactly. I mean, don't even say a little bit different. When He says be perfect, He did not say kind of aim at it. He meant be perfectly shalom. Shalom means peace. Be exactly in line with, aligned perfectly with spirit, soul, and body. Father, Son, and Spirit. Be exactly lined up in all three ways. In everything. And I can show you the whole scripture makes this threefold division all the way through. You know, little men, little children, young men, mature fathers. I could go on and on and on. Dozens and dozens of triplicates. You know, the the young plant, then the more mature stalk, and finally the fruit, and so on. You can just go over and over again, and Scripture does that. Everything is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything. All right, now, so that's the first one. Second one, and the word, the Greek word for perfect is teleos. Say it, teleos, teleos. So teleos, teleological. Teleos means the end for which, the goal, where you're heading. So the teleos of everything is where history is going right now. We're almost at the end right now. And so I know I'm called to be a pastor in the end of the end of the end of the end to perfect people so that when the Lord comes back, he can say, well done. I know that. I know that I'm not just trying to get myself into heaven. Here, you could go to heaven right here. Just, I believed in Jesus. I believe Jesus is all my righteousness. Hallelujah. I can sin like mad. It doesn't make any difference because I believe in Jesus. Okay, that is not your end. But it might get you into heaven. I'm going to say might because I have no idea. I wouldn't guarantee it. But what I would say is this is why you started. But it's my job to make sure you don't stoppeth, but that you keep going until you go through all the flame and the fire and the chastening and the punishment and the chastising and teaching and, you know, everything that it takes. And the more resistance, the better. The more problems you have, the better. Seriously, if you have incredible problems thrown against you and fires and troubles, yahoo! But you don't say that for this one. You don't say that for that one. You say that for this one. These troubles, in the world you have troubles, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Did you hear how he concluded that in the world you have troubles, so gripe? No. In the world you have troubles, so surrender. You know, just give up, just quit, just be sad. Nope. In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer. So troubles, so you call me on the phone, Pastor, you know, blah, blah, blah. Every day I get things every day, tragedies, all kinds of things. But it's always Yahoo. Not Yahoo in a simple sense, but in the sense of don't give up hope. You can sorrow, but not overmuch. Why? Because God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? All things work together for the good. No weapon fashioned against me, etc., 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 etc. All the Scriptures are the same. Troubles are not your problem. Avoiding trouble is not why you want God. I want to use God, press the little button, and get him to get me out. You know, I've just had an accident, you know, whatever. No, you don't use God to get out of trouble. God uses the troubles to get you out of you unto him so that you can shalom yourself, spirit, soul, and body. Now, those that are not born again don't even know to call upon the Lord. But in the last days when things, excuse me, get more difficult, people will call on God anyway. And they'll call on a God they don't even believe in. Because when you get in trouble and you realize you can't get yourself out, you just start calling on any old thing. It could be Buddha, it could be Jesus, it could be anything. It doesn't matter. Just the one that works. You just get desperate. Well, the world today is getting like that. Their economies are falling apart. Their societies are falling apart. Their politicians are not stopping corruption. They're all confused. Nobody knows what to do. Pastors are, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things and so on. So people will then begin looking harder for the truth. Today, they're still used to being spoiled. Don't worry about it. God will arrange the whole world that eventually the whole world will be in the place he calls multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. All of those that stood in the great grand middle, who were not extremists on the one end or on the other, will all be having to make a decision soon, which they don't want to do. They don't want to be communists on the one side or, you know, greedy capitalists on the other side. They want to stay in the middle somewhere, kind of middle class. They don't want to be super rich or super poor. They just want to be somewhere in the middle, safe. No, middle is not safe. Middle is not safe. That's where you find dead skunks, in the middle. You don't want to be in the middle. God will not allow you to be in the middle. You either have to be hot or cold, but you cannot be lukewarm. Because that one he will spew. If you are a wicked, you know, the worst person you can think of, like yourself, if you are a wicked person, that's good. That's good. Because now you know you need a God. You have to have God. If your problem is everybody else and you feel like you're a victim, you don't need a God. You only want the God to kill off the bad guys so you, the good guy and the innocent person, can help you out. No. You're not good. You're the bad guy. Say it, I'm the bad guy. I'm the worst guy ever. It's okay. It's the truth. You just spoke the truth. There's no one worse than you are. Now, it's true you're equal to everybody else, but there's no one worse than you are. But there's no one better either. There's no one better. Only God is good, right? Only God is good. Only God is good. Now, you've all been trained from youth up to be good. That was bad training. It's actually good, as long as you understand, it's not perfection. That will not bring you to perfection. Being good or being moral means you're self-dependent upon your brains, because you have to have brains to be moral. You have to have a really good mind. You have to be very smart to be moral, because you have to figure it out for yourself and govern yourself. And you have to have a strong will. If you're going to be moral, you got to go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. So you have to have a very strong will. And you have to have strong emotions as well. You have to have a certain kind of optimism. To be a moral person, you have to take all the guff that's around you and everything else and just go, no, I'm going to do this anyway. Stick to your will. How many are strong-willed, clear-minded, and emotionally happy all the time? That's what it takes to be moral. But there's a better way. That's let God do it. Let God do it. I like the God way. I like the God way. Then you don't have to lie. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to fake it. So here you are, born again. You did nothing for it. You didn't earn it. Free gift. And only God's good. And you're good if you believe that only God is good and you're not good. That's what's good about you, is when you realize you're not good. Okay? So the best thing you can do is to say, I know I'm no good. Ah, he loves that. I repent of my strength and my brilliance. I repent of that. And I repent of my decency and my goodness and my gentleness and all my virtues. I repent of that. So it's the good people that killed Jesus. It's all the nice people. I mean, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were decent people. You know, good. You know, they had all the awards and stuff for being a good scoutmaster and whatnot. No, it's the good people. It's the good people that is in the way. The good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best. What's good among men is evil to God. So when you think you're good, that's when you're actually an enemy of God. You're at enmity with God. All right, the next one is 1921 Matthew. 1921. That was 548. This one's 1921. 1921. All right. Jesus said to him, this was the rich young man, if you would be perfect, you want to be perfect, teleos? You want to be teleos? Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. I don't know why, that just goes against your flesh. It just goes against your flesh. How many here are ready to obey this particular scripture? Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. You know, now not the nice poor, just the poor. You know, so someone who won't even appreciate, the next day he'll be out in the street and whatever. You buy him something, the next day it's gone and so on. You give away everything to the poor. And then he says, and come, follow me. Isn't that weird? So you want to be perfect? Okay, here's how to be perfect. Care nothing for yourself. Don't care for yourself at all. Trust totally in God. The God that saved you is the same God that's going to sanctify you. It's the same God that's going to glorify himself through you. Give away everything you have. Why? 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 Why can you give away everything you have and not worry about it? Easy. Because you have a God. And you have a God that not only will save you, but also sanctify you and also glorify you, because he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And you're not even afraid. Even if you make a mistake and do everything stupid and wrong, he's still for you. He still loves you, just like your kids. When they grow up and do wrong, they rebel against you. When they do their own thing, you're not at all worried as a parent, because you know your love's going to come through. right? I mean, you would never think to yourself, you know, all that they're doing could be due to my lack. Maybe I didn't teach them right. No parent would ever blame themselves for that. But it is. It's totally your fault. It is 100% your fault. So what? After they're 21, it's their fault. So that's the first thing you want to say when they become 21 is, hey, by the way, all the stuff I did, sorry about it. But now you're on your own. So no more blaming us. Too bad. Yes, you're right. I wasn't a perfect parent. But who is? So there you have it. Now you're on your own. Make your own mistakes. Isn't that exciting? Do you see that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your parents have nothing to do. Oh, my mother was dysfunctional. Golly, get real. What mother isn't? My dad was, you know, never around. So what? Well, he never amounted to a hill of beans. Who cares? It's time now to deal with God. Grow up on your own now. Now you only have God to blame. You and God, and it'll never be God. So it's always you. If you're unhappy, it's your own fault. If you're miserable. If, you know, all the things that happened to you were due to the way my parents didn't raise me or did raise me or whatever. No. That's true when you're a kid. But now that you're an adult, it's not true anymore. Amen? So, how many here are over 21? Yeah, well, it's your fault. If you're happy all the time, that was because you believed in Jesus. If you're not, that's because you didn't. It's simple. So, I'm happy all the time. Why? I trust Jesus. Even if I goof up, I'm still happy. Even if I mess up, well, I don't have to say even if I, when I. It's not difficult, because I do that on a daily basis. Amen? All right. So the second one is, he says to this rich young ruler who's observed the commandments, in other words, he was a moral guy, a religious moral guy. In other words, he did it. And he said, I've done all those things from my youth. And he says, there's only one thing you lack. You want to be perfect? Go sell all you have. Become like God. Come follow me. Why? Because Jesus was like his father. Why? Because he didn't care if he had anything. Did you know that he never had a bank account? You know, it's just what was carried around, and he gave it to the thief. He had one of his disciples who was a thief, and he gave him the bag of money. I'm telling you, that is good picking. He picked good, didn't he? Let's see, of all my disciples, which one? Let's see, I'll give this to you, Judah. You take good care of it, Judas. And so Judas was a thief. Did Jesus not know that? Of course he knew it. Of course he knew it. So what's Jesus going to do? Rely on his Father. The money is not big deal to him. Amen? It is to Dallas people, but not to Jesus. You see, what you have is nothing. That's why he said, go sell all you have. He did not mean go sell all you had. What he meant was, don't rely on all that. He didn't mean go and sell all you have. What he meant was, be a steward, not an owner of what you have. Be like me. Now, Jesus had stuff. Did you know that there were women that followed him around that gave him their lunch money, their disposable income? And, you know, women they often have a lot more than their husbands who are making all this stuff. They manage it and keep it. And a lot of women have all of that dough. Now, if you're a foolish woman, you just relied on your husband. So don't do that. You don't see the humor of that. So you have to be able to manage everything. And praise God, I married a Scotch woman. This is great, because Peggy doesn't spend, and neither do I. I don't buy anything either, except for a few books. But other than that, I don't buy anything. I don't buy shirts. I don't buy pants. I don't do anything. I don't spend money. I just don't want to. So I don't care what I look like. Peggy does, but I don't. And if it weren't for the kids, I wouldn't have ties and, you know, anything. Because they buy everything. Dad, you look horrible. What do you want to do? Well, I'm going to buy you something. Okay, well, go ahead. I'll wear that for the next 5 years. You know, whatever. Because I don't care about that stuff. But it's great. Do y'all see that? Now, what Jesus wants you to do is go sell all you have, meaning don't own what you own. Be a steward of what you own under God. because he is the one to tell you what to do with your money, not Jim. I don't get to decide. So if Joel says, you know, hey, we're broke, we need money, then, you know, I might respond to that, but I'm not just going to do it. I'm going to ask God. Do y'all see that? I'm going to ask God. Because you only have so much. You don't have enough to supply the whole world. You only have so much. It's a limited, it's a finite amount. And so, okay, God, do you want me to give to Joel? Yeah. Give him $2,500, which we just did the other day. Give him $2,500. Okay, so that goes to Joel. And that's good. That's a blessing. But only if God told me to do it. If it was $2,400, then I did wrong. I did evil. So you have to go sell all you have. In other words, it's not yours. It's whatever God wants to do with what you have. And so therefore, you have to be very responsible not to do what's responsible, but what he says is responsible. You don't know what responsible is, because responsible could look irresponsible. And you could do something quite foolish, and no reasonable person would understand what you did. But you just trust God. Don't we have a good God? Even if I did something irresponsible, God could still cover me. God, I think I did it again. Cover me on that, will you? And so God is your banker, your guarantor, that says if you mess up, he'll give you a line of credit. He will make you another loan. He will provide, you know, wherewithal. Well, it's good to have an angel that does that, a father, an uncle, a mother. Often moms dish that stuff out. You know, that's one of the things they do with their disposable, is they go, well, you know, I have a little bit here saved aside for groceries or whatever, but I'm going to give it to you, my son, who's a ne'er-do-well. Did you know that some sons are just ne'er-do-wells? They're just, they never do well. I mean, they're just worthless. And so, but moms love them. I love that. I love that. Don't you love it when people help out people that aren't worthwhile? I love that. I think it's powerful. Because you better do it, though, if God tells you to do it. Because if he doesn't, you're just enabling that person and subsidizing their sin. But if God tells you to do it, it's different. If God tells you to do it. So you really have to be sensitive moment by moment to the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you don't go to hell because you're not, but you're living in hell because you are not. So it doesn't matter that you're going to heaven or hell. It's a matter that you are not enjoying heaven, or, you know, you're experiencing hell because of your own foolishness of making your own decisions. So perfect means always do what God says. Okay? And the only way I can do that is if I'm dead. And the only way I can do that is if I was born again. So if I'm born again, the next thing to do is die. First thing I do is get born again. Next thing I do is die. So that's why we spank children. We spank them because they're our children, and we spank them and say, you're not going to do what you want. You're going to do what I say. And I was a tyrant for a father. I was a complete tyrant because I demanded absolute obedience out of my kids. And I mean, never let them get away with anything. I'm telling you, I did not. And I can yell. I'm a screamer. And so when the kids would do something wrong, hey, you stop that right now. The little kid just frees up. I love that. I love that. I'm totally play acting. 100% play acting. I'm not doing that because I felt that or anything. I'm just doing that because God wants them to know when Dad speaks, that's it. And I'll spank them in the next second. You know, they don't pay quick attention just like that. Spank them. Now, if I loved you, I would do the same thing. But I don't. So I indulge you. So you're not ready for that. We don't have a generation of people that understands obedience or submission or authority. So we have an indulged, you know, kind of thing. And it wouldn't work in the public church. That's why we have those house churches. There you can yell. There you can rebuke people straight out because you love them. When you really love somebody, you don't let them destroy themselves. You say, that is wrong. And you just look them straight in the eye and tell them. You know, and amazingly, I don't do it with women. I do it with men. But amazingly, men hate it and love it. They hate it, but they also love it because they know, you know what? If I do stay in myself, in my own juices, I'm going to mess up. but no one ever taught me. So one of the jobs of a pastor is not to dominate anybody, but is to tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. And that's not easy to do. Only a parent would do that. Only someone that loved you would do that. So Peggy and I are very brutally real to one another, but I love it. I love it. She does not tone down, even if I tell her to. Peg, just tone down. She won't. Because I taught her, just say whatever you want to say. And she remembers that. In the moment when I'm telling her to tone down, she remembers, no, you told me I could say whatever I felt, wanted, and desired. Did I say that? Yes, you did. So she just keeps coming. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If you had a wife that just kept coming at you. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love it? Thank you, Jesus. I have a wife that I can't control. I love it. Isn't that neat to have a husband like that, Judy? Amen. You know, he's just, the woman thou gavest me too much. You know, I like that kind of woman. I've got that in Peg. Now, you all don't see it, but I get to see it. You don't see how tough Peggy is. But I wanted a wife who was tough, meaning real. Just be real. Say whatever you want. There's no laws on you. There's no rules. There's no none. Now, of course, when she starts to do that, I scream bloody murder. Peg, what are you doing? You know, you're going crazy. Too bad. I'm a gift of God to you. Don't forget it. It just comes right at me. It's good for me. You all see that? In other words, you don't want a husband that can't stand a wife to be whatever she is. You want a husband that can take you no matter what. Amen? That's beautiful. A man that can handle a woman who can go wild at times is a real man. That's what you want. I don't want Peg to behave herself. I want her to just misbehave every once in a while. Put you to the test. Because all I do is I go to God because she's uncontrollable. Peg, you're uncontrollable. God. The woman thou gavest to me, get her. It doesn't help to stop her because she's unstoppable at times. Do you see that? Do you all see that? So a good marriage is where it doesn't work without God. You have to have a God for it to work. That's a good marriage. A good marriage is where you have lots of problems, troubles, difficulties, and people are able to be real as they want. Not stay in your spot. Stay in your spot. That's not a good wife. Hey, get to the back of the bus. You know, be quiet. Don't talk up. You know, just be a Oriental. That's I always wanted to marry an Oriental woman. Yes, master. Here are your slippers. I always thought that would be great to have a wife like that rather than these American, variety. You know, they're too, So I married Peggy, who was the closest thing to being decent and moral and keep her place. Yeah. But then after a while she broke out, But I really wanted that. I didn't want her not to be a person. Amen? Now, the perfect is that actually Peggy now is being perfected, and I'm not only praying for it, I'm enabling that to happen because I also want to be perfect. I want to be. Want to be is not here. That's just believing Jesus is. I believe Jesus is. Here I'm wanting to be perfect, but I'm still not. Here, I am perfect, which means I'm perfect means mature enough to have a child, mature enough to be married. That's all perfect means. It means that's the end for which you were made. You should be able to raise children the same way you were raised. But hopefully, if you're immature, you should not get married. And I've noticed some people do. I've noticed some people marry before they're mature. Especially I've noticed women marry men that are not mature. I don't know why. It just seems to be a pattern. That women will marry a man who is not at all lined up with God's program. And so that's amazing. And then women complain about it later. My husband's not mature. He's got all kinds of flaws. I thought my love would kind of, make him appreciate me. But it doesn't. Did you know that women don't appreciate? They're insatiable. That is, they're endlessly wanting to be blessed and pleased. There's not enough you can do to ever keep them completely happy. Have you noticed that, Will? They always want more. They always want more. You know, Peggy's not content enough that I take her out once a year. She wants to be, you know, spoiled all the time. This seems to me ridiculous. That is too much. It's just too much. Peg, we went out, didn't we? That was 4 months ago. I know. So we've got another 8 months to go. I mean, why do you want to be blessed all the time? Remember, I got an A-plus one night. Yeah, that I want you to do it again and again and again and again. You're too much. Peg, I got a life of my own. No, you're married to me now, tied. You know, she puts handles all over me. There's handles everywhere now. She's got handles so she can control me. Like those dogs on those little things they hold, you know. You can go so far and no further. Get back here. The little choker collars, or whatever. Woo! Now, to be perfect is for you to do what? Be exactly like your Father in heaven. What is perfect? Be exactly like your Father in heaven. Spirit, soul, body, all three. Now, how many are here a believer? How many believe that Jesus was perfect? Amen. How many want to be, I mean seriously want to be, a Christian all the way? Okay, that's good. That's the next step. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be. Just want to be. That's the next step after Jesus. You believe in him that he's perfect. Now, you want to be like that. But, of course, you have no way to help him. And you have no way to cooperate. None. You don't. You just simply want it. But you have no ability to make it happen. I hope you understand that. When, here it is. You believe that Jesus did it before you even were born. That he died for you 2,000 years ago. Okay? Now, you're going to have to believe that when Jesus puts a desire in you to be like him, That's just simply built on the same word that saved you. The same word is, you could be like that, and I want you to be, but just wanting to be doesn't do it. Even though I want to be a better wife, I want to be a better husband, that doesn't make me one. Well, I really want to be one. It's irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. Just wanting to be is nothing. Remember, Jesus is not going to say, well believed. He's not going to say, well wanted. He's going to say, well done. Done is way over here. It's body. Body, this is what he wants. He's coming back for a bride without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, mature, in other words, ready to be married, and to have kids. So Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. No blemish, no wrinkle, no spot, no nothing wrong. Is that impossible or what? Isn't that great that he has that idea? With man, that's impossible. But with God, that's possible. He could actually have a church that's perfect. Now, of course, I need him over here because if I goof up, I need him to forgive me again and again and again and again and again and again and again. How many know, even though I even want to be a Christian, that doesn't mean I always am. Sometimes I have to run back here. God, forgive me again. Sorry. Okay. Now, I want to be a Christian. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I just goofed up again. Sorry. And you can be running back and forth here and wear a path. But still, he's going to get you there because he who began a good work in you, number one, is surely, without doubt, going to perfect you. He said, if I began it, I, not you, not you helping me, not you cooperating, just you believing that I don't lie. The same one I started with is the same one I'm going to end with. Your origin determines your destiny. How you began, if you were born of earth, you'll go back to earth. If you're born of heaven, you'll go to heaven, because that's where you're from. So he's the way, the middle one. He's not only the beginning, the alpha. He's not only the omega, the ending. He's also the way. I am the way and the truth and the life and everything. My all in all. Now, next verse, Romans 12:2. I won't get very far. I beseech you, this is one. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But don't be conformed, verse 2, to this world. See, that conformed is form, outer, inner, outer, all of it, spirit, soul, and body. Don't be conformed. Don't line up. Don't shalom with things in this world. How many know if you line up with this world, you're going to become like this world? Okay, but be ye transformed, be completely changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect. Teleos. Same word. All these are the same words. There's 30 of them. They're all the same word. Every time the Bible uses the word perfect, it's generally teleos. So that means the end for which you were originally created. Not Adam. The end for which you were created. What were you created for? To be like Christ. Not to be like Adam. To be like Christ. Not to be innocent and moral and pure and, you know, sweet. No, no, no. You were created to be totally in love with Jesus, who saves you, who sanctifies you, and who glorifies you. And only God can do that. So relax. Relax. He's not telling you what to do. Obey. He's telling you what to believe. Trust. What he's saying, when he shows you a sin in your life and you see it, here's what he's doing. Jim, I want you to correct that right now. No. Here's what he's saying. Jim, I'm showing you this sin. Wow, that's a big one. I don't know if I can get rid of it. You can't. Oh, cool. So you forgive me for doing that? Yep, I forgive you for doing it. But now I'm going to help you, and I'm going to take you through the fire, through all kinds of troubles and problems, so that you finally open your eyes and see what it is until we get rid of it. And so, and then you'll be dead. And when you're dead, then you'll be fine. So he's just telling you what he's working on. This is the area why I'm spanking you. My father always told me when he gave me a spanking, Jim, do you know why I'm spanking you? I guess so. You know, because I was a little kid. I don't know. And he made sure I understood that he was being just. You know, that I'm spanking you because you didn't do what I said. Or I'm spanking you because you did exactly what I said not to do. Well, a little kid doesn't want to hear that. Just get the stupid thing over with. I don't want to hear all this moral lesson about why you're spanking me, why you're just. I just don't want to get it. That's it. And I don't want to hear what the lesson is. But he is doing this for my good. And he would always say that. I'm spanking you not because I want to. I'm spanking you for your good. I never got that. I never grasped the point of that. I was that so stupid. For my good. I don't want anything for my good. I just want to do what I do. And I don't want to be spanked for it. How many want to do stuff and you don't want to be spanked for it? Well, thank God you have a God that's going to spank you anyway. He just loves you so much. He's going to spank you. The father that loves his son chastens him. Beats him to a pulp. So he can't, you know, his bottom is so red and it hurts. Ooh, that hurt. He's the, you know, just, you know, I'm just telling you what I'm working on. Well, could you work on it differently? Could you work on it, you know, like Dr. Spock? If you could use the Dr. Spock method where you understood the child, we could have a friendship. Let's work on it by loving me so much that I want to be like you. No, no, that's a kid view. That's a immature kid view. That nothing is going to stop you except death. When you get a stick on your bottom that hurts, that's when you start to learn. And you can't just have one hit. You got to have three. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. You got to have three. You do. Until you're no longer angry, but you're afraid. When he breaks you, ow, ow, ow. That's what he wants. Oh, he loves that. When you come to say, okay, God, okay, I got it. I got it. Now you're teachable. After three good licks like that, you're teachable. And then immediately that's when you bring them up into your arms and hold them. Greatest time for about Peggy, but the greatest time was after I spanked the kids and then we hugged. They always came and we hugged. That was the greatest time. I'm sorry, Dad, I'll never do it again. That was great. It's great.
I mean it, too.
Yeah, it's great. And I loved spanking so that you could just get those moments. Because they're hugging you real tight. And now, let's say you don't get a spanking. The world will spank you. Okay, you don't get a spanking from your parent who loves you. You'll get a spanking from the world that does not love you. And when you get it from the world, I'm telling you, it's there's no mercy in it. There's no mercy in it. And you don't get a hug afterward.
Right.
You don't get that hug. the policeman doesn't let you out of the prison and say, hey, let me give you a hug. I really, really enjoyed having you here. No. Because when the Father chastens you, he's broken. He cries. He's hurt. He does not want to spank you. I never wanted to spank my kids. Peggy did, but I did not. I mean, really, Peggy did. She was like, you disobeyed. You know, like that. I didn't want to do it. Huh?
I didn't always want to.
Not always, right. But plenty of times. This is what you get for disobeying. You know, that's called legalism. There's no heart in it. There's no hope in it. There's nothing afterward. It's just behavior. She'll get you. And so the kids feared her, but they didn't always love that. They loved her, but they didn't love that. Right? But I'm telling you, when you spank somebody, that's the best thing. Has everybody here been spanked? You know, I hope so. By a loving mother and father. That's great. That shows they care enough to say, I don't want you to grow up destroying yourself and destroying one another. I want you to grow up right. So you have to spank them. You have to. Then they know you love them. Did you know that they'll thank you someday and say, thank you. Thank you. You made an effort to stop me. So why does God let this world go on like it is? Because he wants to teach you something. Better to go to him and get his punishment than to go to the world and get theirs. There's no instruction in the world's punishment. Katrina meant nothing to all those people down there that felt like, you know, where's the ice? Why doesn't the government get us out of this? Where's the trailer I was supposed to get? Get me out of this place. No. But those that were Christians said this. Hey, praise the Lord. It's just a pot. It's just a house. It's nothing. We'll make it somehow. That's a different attitude. That, you know, even all that stuff can actually enrich your life. And if you have a God that's good, you can turn to him rather than to the government or to your neighbor or to yourself. You turn to a God and say, God, I've lost everything, but you know what? I still have my faith. And I still know that you're with me. And I know somehow I'm going to make it. I'll just go up to Dallas. So there's a lot of people came up here. It's a blessing. Now, the best is yet to come. So, how many here today want to be a believer and then stop? How many want to be a believer and stop? Anybody? I mean, you know, don't just say it because it's the wrong answer. But it is, you know, you just really just want to believe in Jesus and sin, continue to sin, and stay in your sins all the way until you get to heaven. Okay, how many want to be a Christian but you're not mature yet? You're learning. You're on a learning curve. Okay. All right. Now, how many here are already mature? You're already dead to yourself, don't care about yourself. You're a steward of all the blessings God has given you, and you want to bless others. You just want to minister to others. You want to spend all of your time now not worrying about yourself, because God will take care of you. He always has. And God will bring you to that point where you want to be, and you don't have to have an agenda. You don't even know what you're aiming at. You're just enjoying the Lord so much day by day. How many are there? Okay, so I have my work cut out for me. So we have people that no one is here, apparently, and most people are all here. This is very good. Now, you cannot get this on Sunday morning. I just tell you, all the sermons in the world will not get you from 1 to 2 to 3. You just stay at 2 and be frustrated. Because if you stay at 2 long enough, you'll go back to pre-1. You'll go back into legalism or license. You cannot stay here as a believer very long without going back. So if you start in this one, ouch, it's too hot. Oh, it's too much. Oh, you're hurting me. Well, then you'll tend to run back here and be a little child again. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Life is hard. And then you'll feel sorry for yourself. But then what will happen is you'll be legalistic or licentious. So you want someone to be rough. You want them to be tough. Tell you the whole truth. What is it that we're supposed to do? And I can tell you, most people are not preaching this. They're not preaching, but they will, because I'm a prophet. I'm telling you, what I'm preaching is exactly what everyone will preach in 5 years. Everyone has to do it. They will. Why? Because God's getting ready to come back for his bride. And therefore, what we teach here in whisper will be heard throughout the world. I guarantee it. all of Dallas, everywhere. There's no way you can hide the truth. God is ready to come back, so he's already getting his troops lined up. And he has a plan for how to get you there quickly. 90-day wonders. And all it is, you know, here's your prayer. Your prayer here has to be not, God, I want to be a Christian. Here's your prayer. God, whatever it takes, kill me off. And that, he'll answer that prayer. He'll love it. Then you get up and testify. I prayed whatever it took. I'm so sorry I prayed that prayer. I had no idea what I was praying. I wished I'd never prayed that prayer. No, whatever it takes, you know what? You'll be happy. The minute you're dead, you'll find happiness. Not just inward happiness. I'm talking outward. You'll be free for the first time. The chains will be gone because you're dead and you were the problem. Other people weren't the problem. Circumstances were not the problem. God was not the problem. You were the problem. Okay? But he loves you. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill you. Do y'all see that? Death is the best thing ever happened to you. As soon as he births you, he comes and kills you. So usually there's like a year and a half before a child is spanked. Okay? You don't spank them when they're little bitty kids. That's cruelty. And they don't even know what you're doing. But after you learn, you teach them the word no and don't do that anymore, then that's when you start spanking them because they don't get it. Hey, when I say no, that means no. Oh, I love little kids when their eyes get big like that. And I love taking children that have been raised by parents that are just not paying attention and not doing it. I love getting little kids like that and just, you can scare them in seconds. Hey, you stop that right now. I love that. Now, I'm not allowed to do that with other kids, children, but I would love to do it. I would love to get a hold of them. Hey, you stop running right now. And they look at you like, you know, who are you? I hate you. I don't like you. Then I tell them, you want to come home with me now? They run back to their parents. But their parents don't discipline them because today parents don't discipline. Because they're busy, they got problems of their own, right? No, when you're a parent, you have to be a three. What if you had a parent that was a two? It's not good. Because you want to be a Christian, but you're still griping and complaining. Because you're still not dead. You still wish. You're still hoping. I don't know why everything always happens to me. Well, just go back here and get forgiven for being a wicked person. That's what this is. This is for sinners over here. I came for sinners, but then I want to change you into a saint. But here is where I'm taking you, so that you'll be just like me. Now, is that for heaven or is that for earth? It's for here. It's actually, there should be more people. Maybe by next week we'll have some more. But there should be more people that are actually mature, ready to minister, ready to minister. Now, Chad is almost there. You're just a hair breadth away. No, really. Why? Because he's learning not to take himself seriously. He's learning to take God seriously. By the way, it's not something you see. It's just something you believe. It's not what you see. It's just what you believe. Do I believe that the same God that did that and who did this will do this? Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. But you could be mature one day and the next day immature again. Right? Is that possible? Yeah. It's not impossible. It's normal. But because it's by faith and because he that began the good work will surely complete it. The teleos. So this is teleos. That is not teleos. That is not teleos. Now I know it is spiritually and I know it is psychologically. But this one, which is actually outwardly teleos, where you actually begin to see. You don't see it all. But you begin to see one day, and then another day, and 1 minute, 1 hour, whatever. You begin to see, wow, it's exciting actually trusting God. And when it happens, you're amazed. And you're going, this is why I was born. And you will change your whole thinking about life. What are all the problems for? What are all those problems for? Every single one has been perfectly designed by God before the foundation of the world to lead you to him. Don't ever say, it's too much. It's too many problems. You will say it. But I'm just telling you, you're wrong. No, just go like this. I thank God. Increase the dosage. Make it worse. whatever it takes to kill me off. What a prayer. Andrew, could you pray that prayer?
I have prayed that prayer and regretted it.
Could you pray that prayer for us now? That we would all enjoy dying out to ourselves. We would no longer be selfish, but we would become selfless because we have a God that's taking care of all of our needs according to His riches. A God who loves us. So because He loves us, He spanks us. But when He spanks us, it always turns out good. It turns out better. Every spanking actually leads to life. Every spanking. You just didn't enjoy it. You just never caught on that you responded exactly opposite to the intention of the spanking. It was not to break your spirit, but only to break your will. It was never to break your spirit. It was only to break your will. It was never make you hopeless, but to stop hoping in yourself and put your hope in the Lord. That was all. That was all. And He'll get to you. If you just simply are patient, you sooner or later will see the goodness of God in the land of the living.